Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. Help me! I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. Help me! 1918. What does it mean? 1918.
Honey,
what does it mean? 86.
Yes.
86 years. Suicide.
Danny at 5, the Sports Hub. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. It's a Friday. Who knew? Let's have some fun, huh? 617-779-0985. We will get to the Red Sox. Thrilling AL East title. And now the banner is back in the hands of the bureaucratic fuddy-duddies over there at Fenway Park.
The machine. The bureaucratic machine.
That would not reward the two townies from Malden that had stolen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
Oh, it was the best yesterday after the show. So, you know, we were talking about those guys.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
And like, okay, so the fact that the Red Sox didn't give those guys anything when they returned the banner, I'm like, okay, the Red Sox are so PR conscious. Like, right. I mean, is there a team in this town that's more PR conscious than the Red Sox? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they didn't give anything means that they probably knew something. On top of that, the guys who made the banner, one of the people who works for the company straight up said, we think that the banner was stolen.
And now the police have got involved.
So, and now, of course, there's an investigation. And we were saying air. There's an investigation on these guys.
Yep. Let them go. I'm sure they've done enough. That you could get them on a bunch of other things.
That's the point. Maybe they haven't gotten them on a bunch of other things, and maybe this is the thing.
Just
finally,
let them go.
Yeah.
Louis, what is that? What is? I'm like, I don't know. I don't. What is it?
Well, I mean, you know what it is.
What are you, what, frickin' frack?
Yeah.
That's you not being smart, big man.
Yeah. Now the streets of Malden are going to be safe finally because they got those two idiots off the street.
And now everyone's looking into these guys' past and everything like that. It's like, all right.
Oh, let them go. I mean, what do they do?
They're too stupid for their own good. I mean, did they really think that everyone's going to buy this story?
Probably.
Of course they did. They don't seem like it's a brain trust.
Yeah, it was like they found a hidden treasure. You know, like they had been scuba diving and they found pieces of the Titanic.
In reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game.
Yes.
Or we're looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over.
Okay, if you want to hear the most embarrassing thing you've ever heard, Wiggy actually got those guys to talk to them yesterday. And like, there's a million questions you could ask him, like 1,000 holes in the story. And all Wiggy goes like, man, you need tickets, man. We're going to get you tickets. You're heroes. You guys are heroes in all of this. We got to listen. All you're doing is doing your thing, man. You're doing your thing and you got it. And you're a hero. And so after the show, we had somebody who works at the station goes, you know, we think we should get those guys tickets. We're like, no, they're under investigation.
No, no.
Like, the Red Sox didn't give them tickets. There seems to be shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, just because you, even if it was true and they just found the banner, why would you give them tickets? The Red Sox didn't do it.
It's great, too, because, like, Wiggy's like, you know, the media's got it all wrong. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, it's like they think that we're trying to get something out of it. And I'm like, why would they think that?
Which you just asked for.
Because you literally said you wanted something out of it.
Yeah.
Money or tickets? Maybe tickets in October. You were saying that?
My man across the road, you know.
We're big supporters of the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's why you're trying to milk him for something. That was, it was the best. Wiggy was just like, man, we got, and anytime the guy would say something that was so easily just not true or could be contradicted, he's like, that's why you're heroes. Now that we've heard your side of the story.
Like, but okay. All we've heard is their side of the story. Right, there's right. Literally been no other side of the story that's presented except for the Red Sox didn't give them anything.
Right, there's like 18 different contradictions that if you would have just asked about one thing, that you know, maybe got an answer, but it was the best. Wiggy was just like, man, everyone's wrong. Man. The media's just trying to take you down.
Well, in fairness, they got him and we didn't. But I will say this, is that I don't care anything about... I would just ask them about their past and what they do for a living. And
the
everything.
Schemes?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would have asked one question about the banner. I would just want to know what their lives are like on a daily basis. I mean, this guy's hitting the lottery like nobody's business. I mean, he's got, if you go to his Instagram, he's always fanning out 20s.
That, yeah.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
Nobody did make it.
Like, they didn't make it. Like, they didn't go to Kinko's and spend the money to make the banner.
I mean, that might be my favorite thing about all this, is they thought that there's no possible way the Red Sox could make another one of these. Like, this organization that's worth gazillion dollars couldn't just go, hey, you know what, we'll have another one. Can you have it by tomorrow? Sure.
My no favorite problem. Part about it is they're being ultra careful when they're folding it, and the dude's got a smoke in his mouth.
That picture is one of the best pictures ever.
Anything that, because I smoked for years, so I'm not above it. I had a friend over last night that still smokes, which is funny how that perception of all that has changed in 10 years. But they're folding this so carefully, and the guy has a smoke in his mouth. And I just love guys that are doing something where they can't hold the cigarette, but they still have it in their mouth.
Oh, sure.
Like this could take a while. I need to have my smoke in my mouth.
Tickets in October. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she won tickets in October.
That's right. You wanted something. The media thinks we're trying to get something out of this. Well, it said because you said that.
Yeah.
You told literally everyone.
In reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we were looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them.
Yeah. You see, you said that. Your words.
No. Yeah, tickets in October. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you won tickets in October. You just
you don't have to clap. No, we know what you're saying.
You're a good Samaritan, though, right? A good Samaritan. That's the way they characterize it.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, we just try to do the right thing here. No, you're not.
It's not.
You're trying to fleece the Red Sox.
Get everything you can possibly get for
extorting them.
And that is the greatest, that the Red Sox just said, nope. Thanks for the banner. See you later. And according to that person who tweeted us or actually sent me a message, that he said that he works for the organization and there was a behind the scenes. He said he was listening to the back and forth between the two of them. And he said it was just like these two guys were so out of their element trying to negotiate. And I was like, nope, see you later, man. Have a good one. Bye. How about you leave right now? We don't call the cops. So I'm wondering how far this investigation has gone.
I mean, come on.
Oh, come on. Tell me that would be hysterical if you knew about the ins and outs of the heist.
All I want to know is about, because the heist was the heist. All I want to know now is about what their daily lives are like.
Well, we did find out, however, that their story didn't seem as crazy as I originally thought, because I guess Malden fishing is a thing. Because Bird was on the show and said that all the time people just pull over on the side of the road when they see a lump and go and pick it up and try to bring it home. Some dude said he saw a bag of Chinese food. He just brought that home and ate that sucker because it was still warm.
Yeah, that was the big thing is that so if you weren't listening yesterday, it's Malden fishing is that if they find something in the road, they will, no matter where it is, highway or whatever else, they'll come and pick it up to see if it's treasure. And this guy found a thing of Chinese food, and so he immediately said it must have been on someone's roof, which I've been thinking about it. Like, wouldn't that fall off in the parking lot? It's going to just stay on top of your car onto the freeway because he found it on the freeway. And his investigation was it was still warm, so he could eat it at that point. That there's no way that it could have been old food that he just that was still warm. It must have fallen off the guy's car. All right, so he left the restaurant, pulled onto the freeway, win a couple, even if you win a mile, and that's when it's going to fall off. It's going to fall off immediately.
So there's somebody who called yesterday, and their phone was bad, and we had to hang up on him. But he ended up emailing us after the show and about a Malden fishing story. He says, so I lived in Malden, and a few years back, my girl at the time saw this fabric chair on the side of the road in Malden. She loved it and insisted on pulling over to throw it in the back of her tiny-ass Prius. I really didn't want to do it because Malden could be disgusting, but the car, we got it in the car, and she drove it to Maine where she lived, and we got it into her apartment. A few days later, she started seeing little flea-like bugs all over her apartment, yes, in her clothes, in her hair. This chair was infested with fleas,
yeah,
from some type of animal, probably a cat from the owner of the chair, and she literally got fleas from this chair. I insisted on not picking up on the side of it, and Malden, flea-infested Malden fishing chair strikes against the ex-girlfriend. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
That's what you get gonna, when you go Malden fishing.
No, that's what you get when you pick up furniture from the road. Upholstery from the road. Like, even if they didn't have fleas when they put it out there, what do you think's going to happen if you have it outdoors?
Honest to God, you see a chair on the side of the road. He's like, all right, Phil, this is perfectly good chair. You know what? I don't want it. We're just going to leave it in the road for someone to pick it up.
There's things like that you can put on the road, like a kid's toy.
No, sure, on the like, side of the road, yeah, you know, and put a sign that says free on it, yeah, and you're like, okay.
But
if it's like, in the road, if it's there in the road, odds are there's something really wrong with
it. If it was something with upholstery on it,
yeah,
I mean, that's going to be infested.
Well, the director's cut of the Boston Globe interview, which one of the guys actually put on their Facebook, has them telling the entire story. The story was that they saw something that was wrapped up in a brown package on the road, and they immediately thought it was jerseys. Okay, once again, you couldn't see what was in it. Why you immediately would think it was jerseys when you picked it up? And they said, so they drive and they say, we know we got something. They went to the park. I forget the name of the park is over there in Malden, but they said they went to the park where they like to hang out during the day to go and open it up. And meanwhile,
they hang out in the park all day?
Yeah. And
I like the jungle gym.
And meanwhile, tickets in October guy, the guy who seems like he's about to fall asleep.
Tickets in October.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That guy was
idea. You're being too obtuse.
That guy said, I was listening to my new CD from my boy JFK along the way. What up, JFK? And obviously he's not talking about the ex-president.
Oh, you don't know that.
Well, maybe he could be. He's got a new mixtape that
he's a young
Bruins centerman. So Jacob Hosbacher Carlson, that's what he was talking about.
Oh, that could be it. So he was throwing out a shout-out to one of his favorite local rappers or Bruins players, random Bruins players.
Right.
But then they just said they went to the park where they like to hang out to open it up to see what it was.
Yeah, you can't go home. You got to go to the park.
Sure. They thought it was jerseys. You know, I have X-ray vision. I can see inside.
If they had jerseys, they would have hit the muddle load. But unfortunately, they did not. They had a useless banner, and they got nothing for it. All right. Last night, the Red Sox clinch, and one of the most annoying things in sports is going to begin, and it's going to end quickly. That's all I'll say. A new era began last night.
Okay.
And it's going to end very quickly. We will have all that for you. We'll be right back.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Danny at 5 to Sports Up. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what gives with the local 9?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. The flavors of fall everyone loves finally dropped at Dunkin'. So coming today for your favorite flavor like pumpkin and maple. Price of participation may vary. Ladies and gentlemen, last night we saw a team go head-to-head with New York. And after a long, agonizing wait, finally walk away champions.
Like pressure off the edge. Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game from Jarvis Landry.
Is that Cleveland? I'm really calling that one.
That's right. Truly the most important story from the evening. The Cleveland Browns getting their first win since December 26th. 2016, a whole 635 days ago, the Browns beat the Jets 21-17 as celebratory fridges filled with beer opened all over town,
man,
and the Cleveland fans celebrated like the kings that they are. And it was all because we witnessed the dawn of a new era, Fred, in Cleveland, the Baker Mayfield era.
He fumbled on his third play.
Yeah, he looked great after that, though. When Tyrod Taylor was diagnosed with a concussion late in the second quarter, he was yanked for Baker Mayfield. But let's not fool ourselves. Before Tyrod was even hurt, he was awful. And I would say that he more than likely would have been yanked. But then again, we're talking about Hugh Jackson here. But as soon as Mayfield got in, he threw bullets.
Here's one. It is caught by Landry to the one. What a catch. This is unbelievable. First of all, the throw is the only place it could be. But that is not an easy catch.
Yeah, that was great. The pace of play picked up. The crowd went nuts. Passes were being caught. Passes were also being dropped. But I'm convinced that was because receivers not named Landry were just shocked that passes were being thrown directly into their hands.
Yeah.
Baker was 17 of 23, 201 yards. And led the team on two touchdown drives, including capping off one with the Philly special play that has all become a pain in the ass for Tom Brady fans to see it properly executed. But on the other side of the ball, Sam Darnold struggled all night.
On second down and 12, Darnold airs it out. Downfield pass is picked by Mitchell. Browns are going to win.
So Darnold completed just 15 of 31 passes for 169 yards and two interceptions, one on a throw he forced into double coverage while falling down late in the fourth quarter, and the other a game-sealing pick on what was a desperation heave. You, sir, are no Baker Mayfield, but maybe that has to do with the fact that Myles Garrett from the Browns is just an absolute monster, finishing the game with two tackles, two sacks, and a tackle for loss, a pass defensed, and another hit on Darnold. As far as Baker Mayfield, here he is now, a champion.
Any win feels great. It's hard to do. You know, having success at this level is hard to do. But the best part about it was that we were here at home. You know, you got to feel the energy of the crowd, how badly they wanted it as well. You know, we got to play for each other. But at the same time, this city does deserve it. But we got to have that mindset of going to get it no matter what's
happening. You won a game. So congratulations. By the way, they changed completely their offense when Baker Mayfield came in. So I don't fault the Jets defense because everything changed, John, as you said.
Jets defense still wasn't bad. It's just you prepare all week for one thing.
Yes.
It was clear Baker Mayfield wasn't going to play. Hugh Jackson wanted to sit him, so you prepare for Tyrod Taylor. You prepare for the offense that Tyrod Taylor runs, and then Taylor goes out of the game, and give Cleveland credit. They knew what package to put in for Mayfield. They basically ran the Oklahoma offense.
Right.
And he was very comfortable in it. And give him credit, he executed.
And I will tell you this, is that it's a short week. For Darnold, I'd still rather have Darnold a million times out of a million. And Baker Mayfield came in, and they ran that Oklahoma offense, and good luck doing it again.
You see, if Mayfield, and it's way too early in his career for this. I mean, they're not going to institute a normal NFL offense for him to run. But I've always liked, I like Baker Mayfield better than anyone else in that class, including Darnold. So I'm not willing to go that far just yet.
All right.
He may be hamstrung by his organization in the end.
No.
But I think Mayfield's going to be a good quarterback.
If they continue to run that offense, how long before NFL defensive defenses figure out how to stop it?
Half a season, maybe less.
Half a season?
Maybe less. I mean,
two
it's
games?
Kind of like figuring out the Wildcat.
I was about to make the same point.
It's kind of like figuring out the Wildcat. It's the RPOs, the read pass options. I mean, people are figuring out ways to slow this down. And Mayfield's not going to be any different. He's going to have to learn to run an NFL offense, but for this night, he was fine.
Yeah, they brought in Mayfield. I can't stand him. They brought in Mayfield.
Why do you hate Baker Mayfield so much?
Because I think that it's a fallacy. I think that he's not that good, and I think that he's not a pro quarterback, and he's an egotistical prick.
Some of those passes yesterday, though, were just, and you heard Troy Aikman say it. I mean, couldn't have put it in a better spot.
The catch by Landry was a catch by Landry. I mean,
Landry was great. Even with Tyrod Taylor, Landry looked good.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, Mayfield played well yesterday. It was an offense that the Jets weren't prepared for, and it's an offense that it will be figured out almost immediately.
You know, we're going to have Burt Breer in here next hour. I guess we can ask him these questions, but ultimately, I think the one knock on Mayfield coming out of college is that he was too short. There was no question as to whether or not he could handle the pressure or run an NFL offense eventually. The problem with him was he's only, what is he, 6 feet tall? Whatever he is.
Maybe.
And, you know, Darnold apparently was accused of forcing balls into coverage at USC. and he stopped doing that. The Jets offense has kind of reined him in. But I think Baker Mayfield can be a really good quarterback in the future.
See, I disagree. I don't think Mayfield's much of a quarterback. I'd rather have Darnold.
You couldn't tell from last night how good he's really going to be for that reason, because right. he was running his college offense. But I think ultimately he's got the skills and the mind to do it.
We'll see. I mean, they haven't put him in a pro offense yet. So, I mean, we'll definitely see.
Well, Hugh Jackson.
They threw Darnold to the Wolves and with no offensive line.
He was very good in week one. He was.
He was pretty good in week two. He threw for over 300 yards. He's the youngest quarterback ever to do it. I mean, you know, he threw two interceptions yesterday. Other than that, he moved the ball down the field. So, I mean, I'd rather have Darnold a million times.
Well, Hugh Jackson, in the most Hugh Jacksoniest of ways, gave the most Hugh Jackson answer ever when someone asked what quarterback would start next week.
Obviously, I like to watch the tape. Obviously, Baker did some great things. I mean, again, we don't play until next Sunday. We got some days. Let's not get into those debates tonight. You know, obviously, what he did tonight was outstanding for the football team and for his teammates and just the way he competed. But again, I have to watch the tape, and we'll go from there.
But at the game, it was a party, so much so that we even saw our favorite version of Booty Lovin' J.R. Smith, and that is shirtless Booty Lovin' J.R. Smith.
I'm telling you, Browns win tonight. I'm taking my shirt off again.
Yeah,
I'm not wearing no shirt. The Browns win tonight, for sure. For sure, we out here. Come on, man. Come on.
And then, of course, at the end of the game came this Instagram video.
It's over. Let's go.
With no shirt.
Let's go. Go,
wow, you took your shirt.
No shirt, shorty. We out here. Let's go.
He gave himself a nickname, No Shirt Shorty.
Good, you know what? Good for him staying around Cleveland in the offseason.
Not taking off, you're right.
Yeah, he's just sitting there. He's enjoying himself in Cleveland.
But in the bars all over Cleveland, they sang, they danced, they nearly smashed the refrigerators filled with free beer, but mostly they enjoyed being kings for just one night. This is actual audio from one of the bars.
Job.
That's funny.
It's too late.
It's unfortunate and sad is what it is.
No, that's funny. Cleveland would have been a fun place to be last night.
Yeah,
first
fine.
Win in almost 2 years. That's funny.
Look, as a Patriots fan and suffering through a 1-15 season, I back in the 90s, I understand how long it can be, and Scott Zolak knows this as well as anyone. You play on a terrible team, and when you win, you celebrate like there's no tomorrow.
I just hate that Mayfield.
They all know that the team, they all know how bad they suck, but that's why it's funny.
Well, their defense isn't bad.
Defense is great.
I'll tell you this, is that the only thing that pissed me off, as soon as Baker Mayfield came in and had a little success, I knew that that Aikman was going to start fawning all over him, and I just am thinking, how many times have you seen this? How many times in your lifetime have you seen a guy come in that a team hadn't prepared for and light it up, and then 2 weeks later, be completely stifled?
But if it's a college offense they went against, would you think an NFL defense would be able to pick that up and figure it out?
Not if you haven't prepared for it.
But maybe they should have. Because Tyrod Taylor, there was rumors that he might not make it past the... I mean, he's been pretty bad as of late.
You prepare for Tyrod.
You have a short week. You prepare for Tyrod Taylor.
That's fair. And also give Mayfield credit. He executed perfectly in that offense. What was it, 17 out of 23?
But think of how many quarterbacks have come in that kind of situation. Sure. Had success and then been failures. And that's my prediction for Baker Mayfield.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. I think Mayfield's a first step. I think Mayfield's going to be really good. I don't know about Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to be much better than you do.
Well, really good. Do you think he's going to be better than Darnold?
Yes.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Yes. I think ultimately he will be. I'm a huge fan of it. I told you this coming out of college, so I'm not going to back off now. I think
you have been a Baker Mayfield guy.
When we had this discussion back in March, I said I liked Baker Mayfield better than anybody. So why change now?
Well, you would agree with the Cleveland brass, which shows that you're definitely on the
I'm on a roll, baby.
No, I think he'll be fine, and I think that they're going to figure him out. And he might play well for a couple games, and everyone's going to go, oh, okay, this is what's happening.
This season, you might be right about this season, but ultimately, when all is said and done, I think Baker Mayfield will be a better quarterback.
He can't run a pro offense.
Now. You're right. Right now. which is why they instituted a special one for him last
night.
Well,
that's why there's no growing pains, is because you're running an offense that he's familiar with. Darnold's running an offense that he's not familiar with, that they're teaching him. So that's why there's growing pains. If you just throw him into an offense that he's been running for 4 years at Oklahoma, then that's fine. I don't know. I can't stand him. So that's
I understand.
And I don't think his crap that he pulled in college, like grabbing his junk and doing everything like that, is
shows character.
Fly.
He's a little wild. He's a wild child.
Who does Cleveland play next?
In Oakland, I believe.
Fred, yeah, who was the guy, the receiver on the Jets who wiped his ass with the ball yesterday? Jose Crowell? Did you see him wiping his ass with the ball?
That's a running back that was on Cleveland.
No.
Crowell is a running back.
Okay, well, it was Crowell, but I just know that I saw him wiping his ass with the football after their first touchdown, and what's fantastic is that it was Joe Buck in the booth, and you remember he was the one so famously when Randy Moss,
yes,
fake moon, was aghast with it, and all he said yesterday was, well, that's going to get a penalty.
Yeah.
And that was it.
They got two unsportsmanlike penalties in a row. They were right. Very disciplined yesterday, the Jets.
I just can't even figure out what he was trying to do. He just took the ball and just did this thing with his rear end. And then I heard somebody say, yeah, he was wiping his ass with the ball. And I'm like, really? It just looks strange. Like he was rubbing his leg.
PJ, he does, and then he threw it in the crowd. Yeah, he doesn't like the Cleveland people. PJ, go ahead.
Rich.
Yeah.
You sound like a really bitter Jets fan right now.
No, that's Fred. Not Rich. That's Fred.
Sorry. Fred, sorry. You sound like a really bitter Jets fan with everything you're saying, how Baker's trash and Donald's great. I'm pretty sure that's not what we saw last night.
The Jets are not a good team. What I'm saying is that what you saw from Baker Mayfield last night is not indicative of what he's going to be.
But you don't think you're just being slightly salty coming off that loss, because every other point these guys
make.
I hope the Jets
go 1-15 so they can get the first pick in the draft and get something of quality. All I'm saying is that the Baker Mayfield masturbatory session was going to be occurring all over TV today, and I think that I've seen it a million times. I've seen it with quarterbacks like Kaepernick. I've seen it with quarterbacks all over the place where they install a college offense, they run it, and then all of a sudden teams go, oh, and then they say, we can stop this from now on.
But Jets should have been ready for that. Don't you believe that?
They shouldn't have. It was a short week, and they didn't have time to prepare. And by the way, the Jets' defense isn't great.
It's not their fault.
Huh?
He said short week, not their fault, so he said.
Oh, yeah, it was a short week. It's not their fault. Thank you. You agree with me.
I just want to see him. I want to try to figure out, was he just, his whole thing was, I'm going to wipe my butt with a ball and
then
throw it in the crowd?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it looked like almost like he had a routine set up.
And in front of Joe Buck, who the guy who lost his mind when Randy Moss did this.
But it was great. Like, he's kind of chilled out after. Yeah. I think he got so much crap that he was afraid to really say anything. He always said, well, that's going to get a flag.
Yeah, they did that. They did that almost two times in a row.
Who was the one who dropped it? It was from the Seahawks. Who dropped it like he took a dump and the ball came out.
That was last year, right?
Yeah, it was last year. It was like someone was taking a dump and he dropped the ball. Like, that might be the best touchdown celebration of them all.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back. We can talk about the Local 9, plus we can talk to Rock and Roll Mike if we want to.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Yeah, and just like that, we back again. Little brother. Yeah, Mike, predator, eat any competitor. Had to double back, cause I've been way ahead of the curve that they set in the nerve they forgetting the. Heard that we ushered in, heard we were suffering, no poobies recovering.
98.5 The Sports Hub, be listening at 6:50 for your chance to score a six-pack of passes to the Harpoon Oktoberfest, September 28th and 29th at the Harpoon Brewery, harpoonbrewery.com for more info. All right, quickly, we know that there are two songs out there. Rich, mm-hmm. One is Hot Balls.
Okay.
And the other one is Roll the Dice.
Okay.
We know that Rock and Roll Mike is not currently at Fenway Park. He hasn't been all season because he's been in the studio.
Okay.
Working on new songs. Hello, Rock and Roll Mike.
Yay! Rock
All right, let's hear the new song. Let's get right to the chase.
What's going on?
All right. Rock and Roll
Short
Mike.
Leash this morning.
All right, Rock and Roll Mike, what is the name of the new song?
The new song? Oh, yeah. It's called I Got All Now.
Okay, so you have...
Yeah.
You have Roll the Dice, Hot Balls, and this is I'm Up All Night Long?
Yeah. I got a girl all day night. I got a rock and roll. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Is that the song? Was that it?
We're doing well, but is that the entire song? You got two verses?
Two lines.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
All right. Thank you, Rock and Roll Mike. We appreciate that.
Call when that's more... Rock and Roll Mike, you can come in when you have your songs done and we can produce them for you.
We?
You? Hardy? Someone?
I'm sure Hardy would be more than happy to lend a hand.
I am not spending time in the studio with Rock and Roll Mike.
I'm sure you and Hardy, that's perfect.
Nope.
Sure.
No, I learned my lesson last time. Nope. That was like having a wet cat in a cage. I don't think I want to deal with
in
that.
In between F-bombs, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. By the way, another team won something last night.
2-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And the Red Sox are kings of the American League East for a franchise record third year in a row. They beat the Yankees here tonight for their 104th victory of the season.
That is Nesson, and after two nights of fumbling around and awkward anticipation shots of the owners on Nesson, it was finally time to party.
Let's go Red Sox!
Yeah.
Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Sox. Well, the Red Sox beat the Yankees 11-6. They finally clinched the AL East for a record third time in three consecutive seasons and are two wins away from setting the all-time Red Sox winning record. Now, despite Heath Embry trying to give the game away by gifting a grand slam to Giancarlo Stanton, the Red Sox offense finally woke up and hit three real home runs in late innings, including one from this guy.
There's the breaking ball, high fly ball.
That's a slum.
Got him. Way back and gone.
Yeah, cured the meat.
What an exclamation mark on this game by Mookie Betts. Four hits on the night. Finishes it off with a three-run Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Three-run Johnson, baby.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call that after I betted the Bellucci triplets.
The Bellucci triplets?
What? Yeah.
Who are the Bellucci triplets?
Three gals that I used to have.
Oh. I used to call that a three-run Johnson.
I used to call that a three-run Johnson. Come on, Johnson, you can do it.
Well, Mookie Betts goes yawning.
Line them up and knock them down.
Can you, by any chance, John, pull up the stats that the Red Sox have had against Aroldis Chapman this season?
Oh, sure.
Because
I'll see if I can find it.
They have absolutely owned him. It seems every time he gets up against them, they embarrass him. And as much as it would be great audio-wise, I got to respect that the Red Sox probably had the most subdued locker room champagne party that I have ever seen. There's no David Ortiz like personality in this team, no Johnny Gomes, just guys like this.
And Mookie, MVP chance every ballpark you go to this season.
My phone is in my pocket.
Is it ringing right now? Are you getting some phone calls?
No, I mean, it's probably gone now because all the champagne. So, whoever, somebody send me a new phone, please.
I mean,
I like those massive goggles that they wear because it would be so horrible to get champagne in your eyes.
It stings. It stings.
Right.
It doesn't feel nice.
Yeah. It's a big problem.
Well, you can't see. You know, it hurts
your eyes,
you know?
It's, I'm sure it's just awful.
I mean,
to
you
get champagne in your eyes.
You know what? They do miss a guy like this. You know?
Bush body tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You don't have him. You don't have anyone like Kawasaki. There's really no personality on this team that's going to, you know, make it a little crazy in the locker room. But either way, I did find it funny that Pedroia was in New York for the celebration. Anyone
he kind of sprinted out there late. I saw that.
He just wanted the free booze.
Yeah.
He filled his shirt up with it and then took off.
Well, once again, Alex Cora, the wise sage, realizes that the team can't get too excited even after yesterday's win.
It's part of what we set to do. I mean, this is step two. We clinched a play spot earlier, today the division, and so on and so on. You know, it's all about them. They can celebrate whatever and all that. I enjoy watching them doing it. They're the ones that go out there and they have to hit and they have to throw the ball and all that. You know, just part of it.
All right, so the real question is, with this team hitting 100 wins last week, winning the AL East yesterday, and more than likely setting the record for the Red Sox wins a couple days from now, John, are you going to have to take out a second mortgage to afford all of the T-shirts commemorating these
Jesus.
Moments?
So we have the 100-win T-shirt. We have the AL East T-shirt.
Yep.
We have the franchise record wins in a season T-shirt.
Yep.
And we haven't gotten to October yet.
Yeah, right. You're not even there yet. So out of
I
all
hope
of those...
it says most wins in Red Sox history, 2018. That's when that's going to pop. That's going to pop that shirt.
Out of the three shirts, rank their worthlessness.
The 100-win T-shirt is the most worthless.
I'm going to say the best record in Red Sox history is the worthless.
No, I would say that that's the best one.
No, of the three, that's the best one.
You have to think of the way that it has to be designed. That is a design problem.
We just say most wins in Red Sox history and then 2018.
Yes. Yeah,
that's all we say.
Which is way too many words.
Oh, you should have seen the 100 wins ones was too many words. It was like first to 100 wins and then it was like 2018.
Do you think Eckersley had a Big Johnson shirt on when he was talking about that?
Like a three-run Johnson?
Yeah. Like Big Johnson fishing.
It takes a big rod to catch the fish. Or
it takes a big rod to get a little fishy.
By the way, just a quick scan. Aroldis Chapman, 5 1/3 innings against the Red Sox, 8 runs, 7 hits this year.
Oh, that is not good.
No.
For someone like Aroldis Chapman. So,
Eckersley, if you're listening and you wear a Big Johnson shirt in the booth, then we got something going. All right, I got to go look up some sayings on Big Johnson.
Big Johnson right. Fire Department. It takes a big hose to put things out.
People used to wear those.
Yep. Anyone you knew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Florida?
See, I thought it was just you would go to the beach, and they would always be on sale at like those shops that had the airbrush ones.
Sure, yeah.
You know.
Can I tell you how many times I went to Algonquin as a kid, saw them?
Can't touch this. True. Summer 89.
Big Johnson, she's going to get wet fast when she sees the size of your hose.
Yep.
Oh, is that Big Johnson Firefighters?
Yeah.
Big Johnson Landscaping. Call us when it's time to trim a little bush.
I think Big Johnson Corporation is a local company.
Really?
Johnson Scuba Deer. Gear. The bigger your hose, the deeper you can go.
That doesn't even really...
Well, listen, you know, you're challenged to make this many. Big Johnson Racing. It's easy to get them loose when you come up from behind with a Big Johnson.
I imagine this being a board filled with guys who, like, you know, look like, you know, the Secretary of State, just, like, sitting there in suits.
With pipes.
Right, it's like they all look like what's his name, Plimpton.
Big Johnson Houseboats party on my deck, but there's a guy with a volleyball sitting there over the E.
I just looked it up. It's not local, and I really wanted it to be.
Apparently,
it's Maryland. Big Johnson is a brand that's marketed by Maryland Brand Management, known for its T-shirts featuring E. Period Normus Johnson.
His name is Enormous Johnson.
Enormous Johnson.
We now go into the boardroom for Johnson Industries. 1996,
according to Dan, they did. All right, Jeeves, I have an idea.
You have a new one, do you?
Yes, it's Big Johnson Contractors. You know, we're appealing to
yes, like, you know, the construction gentleman. What kind of witty phrase have you come up with?
It's a turn of phrase. Get it up fast and finish big. You see the double entendre. Big Johnson Bait Shack. Now there's several buxom women, and it says... You won't need to be a master batter when she sees the size of your Johnson. Master baiter when she sees the big size of your Johnson.
Pardon me while I write that with my pen and quill here.
This is an alliteration which I can't read on the air. If it has T's and tires, it's going to give you trouble. It's Big Johnson on a motorcycle.
If it has, like, T's and tires, yes.
Big Johnson... They'll get on their knees when you pull in with a Big Johnson, and it's Big Johnson Racing Team.
What does that have to do with being on racing on your knees?
Babs?
I don't understand that at all.
Too subtle for you. Big Johnson Off-Road. Okay. She'll love it on all fours.
Oh, because it's just a four-wheeler.
Yes, I was just looking at that one. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Big Johnson's Noodling Championships. Find a hole, get a grip, and close your eyes and stick it in. Because noodlers put their... That's appealing to a very specific market.
People who know what okie noodling is?
Okie noodling.
Right. Shall we approve that design, yay or nay? We have 17 yays.
83 nays. Unfortunately, we will have to go back.
Surf culture is
to the lab
medium that we've not.
Oh, quite surf yet. Culture. Oh, this is something. Surfwear is a very big market. What do you have, President Johnson?
It's Big Johnson, of course, surfboards. Mm-hmm. It's not how you ride the waves. It's the size of your Johnson that counts.
That doesn't, once again, really make sense.
All right. Big Johnson's Morning Wood Lumberyards. First get hammered, then get nailed.
Yays and nays. How many yays? Oh, 96 yays. Yes, that one.
All right, well.
Shall be approved. This the one, Morning Wood. Put it up.
This one is a little bit different. It shows Big Johnson holding a landscaping device. Okay. It says Big Johnson, dirty hose landscaping. Spread them, plow them, spray them.
They're talking obviously about the plants.
Well, you stole that from
the grass.
I
stole that from Pike Nursery. We'll have to check out the trademark implications of that one.
Yes, you stole that from Wordsworth. Now there's.
Did you find just like a Big Johnson, slogan website?
Yes.
It really is a fascinating read. There are about 30 of them here.
Attitude, Big Johnson, wear because life is too short to be small.
Mm. President Enormous Johnson, what do you think of that?
That's right.
Oh, thumbs down.
And then there's Dennis Johnson randomly on this page.
Just Dennis Johnson just showing up?
Yeah, he's just like, hey, how do we... and that's about all I can find from the Big Johnson Company.
Okay, well...
And people at my college wore those like you wouldn't believe. They just had a
and the women
laugh.
Came flocking.
Oh, yeah. Because they know they got something going. Big Johnson snowmobiles after a cold day on top go down on a hot Johnson. Hmm?
Someone said we had to turn our shirts inside out. We wore those to school. Imagine like your parents...
Yeah.
Watching you walk out. Have a great day at school, son.
That's By the way, they're going for $50. People on eBay are asking for
what?
$50 for these.
Oh, God.
The ultimate jock straps. Joe Blow.
Somebody said, I think you're thinking of co-ed naked t-shirts being local. I am. They said,
there it is.
Same double and top.
Okay, the ultimate jock straps. The only way to be one is to wear one.
So is it Big Johnson Seafood Shack? We'll stuff your quahog.
All right. Well, there you go. That's your lesson today in poetry.
Yays or nays? Yes. No. We are split. 50-50 yay and nay.
We'll be rolling in it.
We shall revisit the Big Johnson Seafood Shack, possibly rework some of the mastercraft we came up with on that tagline.
All right. Bert Breer with us next.
Stay tuned. More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Toyota.